shortly before I came to Bloomsbury, I turned 30, which isn't that old, but I could feel my body beginning to fall apart. I woke up with a neck pain that I had never experienced before, without having done anything the day before. And I realized, when I get to my new assignment, I should probably start exercising, I should probably start working out, that would probably be good for me. And I did. I got a membership at a local gym. I will not tell you which one. And I got a personal trainer, and it's been really great. I've been going to the gym like 3 days a week. I feel really good about myself. It's really great. And my trainer is a really nice guy. He's a very dedicated evangelical Christian, so we've had some fascinating conversations. But we didn't like get to meet this past week because it's the beginning of Lent, and it's a crazy time. Ash Wednesday is super busy. I have like 5 services on Ash Wednesday, and fasting is not really conducive to hard exercise. And so we actually finally got to meet yesterday, on Saturday. So he was asking me questions about Lent. He's never done a Lent. His congregation, they don't do that. They don't have a tradition of fasting, not a tradition of a Lenten period preparation for Easter. So he was really interested. Asked me all kinds of questions about it. He's asking me, like, why do you do that? Like, what? Where is that in the Bible? It's a very common question he asked me. And well, it's here. It's right here. Deacon just read it, right? Our Lord goes into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, and he fasts and he prays to prepare himself to begin his ministry, leading to the cross, leading to his resurrection. He's preparing himself for that. And so we imitate him. We prepare ourselves for the Easter season by spending 40 days, don't look at the calendar, it's like 46 days, but 40 days preparing for the season of Easter. We imitate our Lord. And of course, that's about as much explanation as I could give as I'm like covered in sweat trying to lift heavy things. But there's more to it than that, of course. There's more to it than that. When I was in seminary, one of my favorite concepts that I learned about in our scriptural studies is called recapitulation. Recapitulation. It's a fancy word that means to put the head back on something. Recapitulation. Our Lord Jesus Christ recapitulates in himself the whole of Revelation. He places himself as the new head of everything. He's a summary of all that the Lord has revealed about himself through history, through scripture, through tradition. It is all found in Jesus Christ. Throughout the season of Lent, we will hear about this concept of recapitulation. Every Sunday, the readings are about some way in which our Lord is redoing, completing, fulfilling salvation history. That's what St. Paul is talking about in the second reading today. We look back to Adam in the first reading, creation of humanity. We discover how by nature we are bound up with Adam, and by nature we share the consequences of his sin. The first sin, original sin. By the very fact that we are humans, by the very fact that we are descendants of Adam, we become inheritors also of the consequence of his sin, that evil has entered the world. We are condemned to bodily death. But our Lord reveals something through St. Paul and in himself. But that's not the end of the story. Today we hear our Lord Jesus Christ is the new Adam. He's something greater. He is the new beginning of a new humanity. That by nature we are bound up with the consequences of the sin of Adam, but by grace we can be bound up with the consequences of the sacrifice and the resurrection of Christ. We have inherited from Adam bodily death, concupiscence, a desire toward evil, and all the evil things that go on in the world. But in Jesus Christ, by grace, if we choose to, we can inherit instead the consequences of his actions, of his life, of his death and resurrection. And so as we're in this season of Lent and the imitation of Christ, it's not just a matter of, well, he did it and it was good, so we should too. as if he's some sort of guru or like a self-help master. It's really good for your health to fast every now and again, so we should do it too. It is good for your health, you should fast every now and again, for the good of your body. But if that's the only reason you're doing it, then I don't really see the point. The reason we imitate Christ is much more than self-help, much more than the health of the body. But so that we might be bound up ever closer with Him. By our nature, we inherit the consequences of the actions of Adam and his sin. But by grace, we have the opportunity to inherit instead the beauty and the glory and the joys won by us in Christ, won by Christ in us. We can be bound up ever closer to Him, become greater inheritors of what He wishes to give us, eternal life and eternal joy and perfect communion with God, if we choose to, if we accept what He is offering to us by imitating Him. And so, this season, we imitate Him in His sufferings. We imitate Him in fasting, that we may be more like Him and receive ever more the grace He is offering to us. Dedicate yourself to your Lenten fasts. Dedicate yourself to the imitation of Christ, not just to grow in virtue, although that's good and you should do that, not just to grow in bodily health or spiritual health, and those things are good and you should do that, but above all things, to be more like your Savior. We should desire to be more like our Savior in every way. Throughout the season of Lent, every Sunday, we're going to see how our Lord recapitulates, becomes the new head of the new humanity in a different way. Today, it is Adam. Next week, we'll look at Abraham. The week after that, Moses, and then David. We'll see how our Lord is offering to us a new inheritance, a new life, a new joy and happiness. And if we wish to receive it from Him, all we have to do is become like Him, imitate Him in every way we can, and receive the joy that He's offering to us. So do that. Dedicate yourself very seriously to this season, so that when we come to the joys of Easter,